Are you ready?
Yes, Captain.
All right.
Oh!
How dare you? I know what you're doing, and how dare you?
Oh, boy. Just start the episode.
Hey, welcome to the Napcast, your source of geekly entertainment. My name is David.
And my name is Seth, and we're going to be talking about Marvel characters today. More specifically, X-Men!
Woo! Yeah! But before we do, we're going to do our weekly gem, of course. So, Seth, I'm going to have you go first for the weekly gem. What have you got?
So, mine is really a long shot.
A long shot?
Yes.
Isn't that a weapon from Zelda somewhere?
Well, it's not technically a weapon, but it is an item from Legend of Zelda. But that's not what I mean with that.
So
I was playing a board game with some friends earlier this week called Codenames.
Codenames.
And so the way this game works is you have different colored tiles on the game board, all of which correspond to different words. But you, as the code master, you have to try to get the members of your team to guess the colors that only you can see.
Wait, and there's red and blue,
yes.
And there's one character that if you guess it, you lose the game?
Yes.
I've played this recently.
Yes.
I know this game.
It's a fantastic game.
I had to be the person guessing for the final round between the two teams.
Oh,
and I had all the pressure, and I managed to get us to win, but anyways.
Oh, no. So I was giving the clues and helping my team to guess, and I managed to give them three-word clues in a row, and they managed to get all of the words that I had picked out.
And that's impressive.
It was. So it came down to the last two words, which were dragon and thumb.
Oh.
I had no idea how to put those two into the same clue, so I was just like, okay, I'll play it safe, and I'll just give them one. So they guessed thumb, like, immediately, and then they still had a chance to guess. So
right.
We were on our last color card, and the other team still had two cards left. Which is really easy to do, all things considered. Three was pushing it.
Right.
But the word left was dragon. I did not know this, but one of my teammates is a very, very big fan of dragons. So at the end of your turn, if you've guessed all of the clues correctly,
You get one extra.
And so everyone in the circle is like, oh, Jen, you should poke dragon just because you like dragons. I was like... If you do that, we will win the game.
You
know, as the code master, you can't do or say anything.
You have to be perfectly neutral.
Everyone in the circle is like, oh, Jen, poke the dragon. I was like, I can't say anything, but I want you to do that because if you do, we'll win.
We'll win.
And they started, because I was playing with a lot of engineers, so they were like, oh, what are the odds that it's actually the right card? They ended up calculating there's like an 11% chance that it was actually the correct one.
Did they actually do it?
Lo and behold, they poked dragon
and we
won the game. It was the dumbest.
Oh.
Dumbest victory I've ever seen, but it was also hilarious.
I've only played that game once, and being the code master is very stressful because you're trying to come up with clues where people don't guess the card that's the bad card and don't
right.
guess the cards that are the other team's cards, but do guess the cards that you're thinking of. I had one where I don't even remember what the clues were or anything. I just know that I had to try to get them to guess three specific cards that weren't related at all.
Oh, no.
And I came up with a random clue that had something to do with Italy. And they managed to guess all three cards based off of the very loose connections to Italy.
Sometimes that's all it takes.
But I was playing with like my uncle and my dad and my younger brother.
Oh,
and so I didn't
that
know I didn't know my uncle's thought process, but I knew kind of how my dad and my brother would think. And so getting them to guess that, it worked perfectly. But I was sitting there like just like nervous the whole time, like, are they gonna get this? Are they gonna go somewhere else? So that's a fun game. I've only played that, I guess, once.
It's fantastic. It's called Codenames. You guys should all play it with your friends and hopefully don't drive each other crazy because it's very easy to do.
It's a lot of fun though.
It
highly
is.
Recommend it.
All
no,
right.
No cheating. But my
what do you got?
Weekly gem. So if you remember a couple episodes back, however many, I don't remember, I was telling you that I came across a singer, a bass singer called Nick Val.
Yes.
You remember that. He's a very deep bass singer. He's also a gospel singer. He doesn't do just gospel, but he's fairly well known specifically for gospel.
Yeah, I do remember you saying that.
I got a chance to interview him.
No way.
This past week. Now, this is going to date this episode because this is, you know, we're recording this back in, what are we, like the first week of April, second week of April?
Yeah, this is going to come out much
So this
much
is already
later.
Fairly dated, but I got a chance for one of my classes to interview him. It was supposed to be a 7 or 8 minute interview. It lasted 45 minutes.
Oh, gosh.
So I might have to do another interview with someone else because I don't know if I could condense this interview down to work to be 7 to 8 minutes. minutes.
Wow.
But I had a chance to talk with him. Now, as a gospel singer, he, of course, is a Christian, but he's one of those people. He's a very, very genuine guy. He's like almost 60 now.
Wow.
He sounds like you're talking to like a sweet old grandparent.
Oh.
He is the nicest, and his voice, like I got a chance to interview him over the phone just after he woke up.
Oh.
His voice was so low. You almost can't even tell because it's over the phone.
Wow.
But when you listen closely and you can hear what the actual pitches are in his voice, it's ridiculously low. It was even lower than the episodes where I had when I was sick in the first season. It was ridiculously low. And I had a chance to talk to him. He asked me what my career plans were.
Wow.
And he gave me some advice because he's done a little bit of like audio engineering on the side.
Oh, really?
He's been like a backup singer for a whole bunch of like very popular people.
So he's done like everything, basically.
Pretty much. I mean, he lives in Hollywood. Or no, not Hollywood. He lives in California somewhere, I think.
Hey,
I don't remember.
One of those California places.
He's over in California. But he's worked very closely with a bunch of people. He's sung on stage in front of like 65,000 people before.
Wow.
And he got to sing Old Man River and do like the really low notes.
Oh.
He described this to me. He was like really ecstatic to describe this, but he was talking about how there was these huge speaker systems, and it was like huge speakers, like huge banks of speakers almost, on a stage in front of 65,000 people.
Ugh.
And someone else who's like a very popular singer, I forget the guy's name, is it Troy somebody maybe? I don't remember. Basically introduced him as like an amazing bass singer and had him come out and sing Old Man River.
Please tell me he blew the speakers.
No, he didn't, because the speakers are amazing.
Oh, okay, maybe that's
but
a good thing.
The way he described it is that the other guy, who was already very well known by the whole crowd, hyped up the crowd in a way that when he came out and hadn't even sung anything yet, the crowd already liked him, if that makes sense, because of how the other guy introduced him. Like, here comes Nick Val, something.
Wow.
You know, and so like, why don't you sing Old Man River for us? And so he did that. So he had all these great stories about it. I didn't even ask him too much about his vocal range, but I did get a chance to ask him about like singing low notes, singing high notes. He wasn't even a singer until his early 20s.
Really?
He didn't do any singing at all.
Wow.
Now, he does have a naturally deep voice, so someone realized that he could be a singer and like asked him, hey, have you ever sung bass? No, I've never sung. Well, why don't you learn how to sing bass? So he learned how to sing bass.
So, okay, like, I'll
when I was telling you,
thing.
What's interesting is that I brought up some videos that I had seen of him, explaining to him how I knew of him. And so the videos I mentioned to you on the episode a couple weeks ago, or whatever, whenever we recorded that one, I don't remember. I mentioned that it was a song. What was that first song? If you ever needed the Lord before. You sure do need him now. I mentioned that one. Of course, I was singing the bass part because that's what I remember. That's his part in a quartet. And he told me he sang that sometime in his 20s. The other song that I mentioned to you, which is the song where he sang My Way. I asked him about that one, and he said that was like in his 50s.
Oh, geez.
And you can hear the difference in his vocal quality. I just didn't realize they were that far apart.
Yeah, that's kind of impressively far apart.
Yeah, so
wow.
that's my geeky moment, is that I got to interview this guy who's an amazing guy just to talk to as well. It's like talking to the sweetest grandparent who also is, he's not a celebrity because he's not like really well known, but at the same time, he's done, you know, 20 some thousand live shows. He's recorded 20 some CDs. He's been a backup singer for so many people and been a soloist and like a lead act for a lot of people. It's amazing, all the stuff that he's done. And he's like the humblest, most genuine guy you would ever meet.
Oh, that's cool.
And his voice is deep. But
I know. Bass voices are the best.
They're
neither
awesome.
One of us has one.
At all. We don't. We always want them, but we don't have them. But all right. So getting into the episode, what we're talking about today, specifically with the Marvel characters, are the X-Men characters. It's kind of like a top 10 countdown, but it's not a top 10.
It's
because
just 10 of our favorite characters from the X-Men movies, or 10 of the coolest X-Men.
And it's also not even really 10, because we just both have like a general list of characters, and we're just going to bring up characters that we enjoy and what we like about them. Now, the thing with this is we're pulling this specifically from the X-Men movies.
Released by 20th Century Fox over the last, what, 15 or 16 years now.
So we're not talking about the comic characters. We're not talking about the characters in relation to the comics. And we're not talking about like the TV show.
Correct.
So the movie specifically that we're going to try to go over, because Seth and I haven't seen all of them, we're going to talk about X-Men, or characters from, we're not going to talk about every movie possibly, but characters from
right.
X-Men, X2, First Class, I skipped one. Oh, Last Stand. Then X-Men Origins Wolverine. Yeah, we're going to bring that one up.
Yeah.
Then First Class. Then
Days of Future
The Wolverine.
Past.
And then The
and
Wolverine.
And Days of Future. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Just said the same thing twice in a row. So, like, The Wolverine and then Days of Future Past. We're not going to bring up Apocalypse too much because I haven't seen it. And I don't remember if Seth has.
I have. There is a character on my list who features prominently in Apocalypse, but I'll try to keep it fairly spoiler-free.
Okay, so I'm not going to bring up stuff from that. We'll also mention characters possibly from Logan, and we might bring up stuff from Deadpool, though I haven't actually seen Deadpool, so again, we'll try to keep that fairly spoiler-free. Was there another one? Deadpool 2 hasn't even come out yet.
Deadpool 2 hasn't come out.
So we're not going to talk about that one.
Yeah, we'll save that one until after it comes out.
Okay, that's basically the
rundown. Which will probably be before this episode is released, so.
But that's basically the rundown of characters. So we both agree the first character we want to talk about is, of course, Wolverine.
What are you talking about? I like Iceman. Well, he's a cool guy.
If we do the top 10 coolest characters, we can bring
Iceman
up
Ice. Is definitely on the top of that list.
Because he's the coolest.
Ooh. I already made that joke.
I made it earlier.
I know.
That was
we
off
both
mic,
made
though.
The same joke.
We did. But no, the first character we both agreed to talk about was Wolverine because, frankly, he's an amazing character. And Hugh Jackman's portrayal of him is amazing.
Spot on. I honestly don't think I could see anybody else in that role.
Didn't you tell me that there was someone else that would have been cast?
Yes. He was almost not Wolverine. Originally, when they were making the first X-Men movie in 2000, Bryan Singer approached Russell Crowe.
Russell Crowe?
Yes.
Interesting. I don't know if I can see that.
He's been in movies like Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. I think he was Jor-El in Man of Steel.
He was.
But it's... And also, most famously in Les Miserables?
Most infamously, maybe? I don't know. A lot of people like to harp on his poor singing. And what I've heard recently is that he's not a musical theater singer. Was it a country singer?
Something like that. I can't remember.
So the reason he doesn't sing as well as everybody else is because he's not that kind of a singer. That's why he lacks all the passion of a musical theater singer. Because
training.
Yeah, he doesn't do that. Now, that being said...
He was almost cast as the Wolverine.
Which, come to think of it, you know, seeing him as like Jor-El or Superman's father, he can play a fairly serious character, but I don't know if I could see him as like the raging, like, get mad at things, beat up a whole bar, you know, Wolverine. You know what I mean?
He's not quite that animalistic.
Yeah, I don't know if he could pull that side of it off. Not to mention, like, just the image of a big, bulking character with muscles all over the place with a cigar in his mouth just looking grumpy.
You almost can't see him as anybody but Hugh Jackman because he's so entrenched in that role.
He really is, though. He also pulls it off really well.
I'm the best there is at what I do.
And then, of course, if we bring up Wolverine, we have to bring up, is it X-23? I can't remember the numbers.
It is X-23. Beware, there will be some mild spoilers for Logan, but if you saw the trailer, you know what it is already.
I mean, there might be spoilers for any of these movies, but then again, we should almost know that there just might be spoilers for these movies.
True, but most of these movies have been out for 10 or 15 years, so
that's
if you
true.
Really
Logan
haven't,
hasn't.
If you haven't seen them... It's your fault at this point.
Well, we don't want to be mean, but it's your fault.
Don't blame that on us.
No, but this is from Logan, where X-23 is... Why am I thinking Laura Croft? That's not right.
Well, her name is Laura.
It is Laura. It's not Laura Croft. That's somebody else.
No, it's not Laura. That's Laura Croft,
Laura
anyways.
Okay, okay. But Laura is X-23, which is basically like a mini-me version of Wolverine. In the sense that she's got the same rage, the same animalistic...
She was created from DNA taken from Wolverine. It's a long, complicated story.
I don't think she has the adamantium skeleton.
She does? Which
is probably a good thing because she's still growing.
They might have put that in her too, actually, come to think of it.
I don't remember.
I can't remember either at this point.
I personally think she doesn't because at that time, even Wolverine himself doesn't have the adamantium skeleton. Oh, no, he does because that's a plot point.
He does. It's a major plot point.
She doesn't. And also, she probably shouldn't because she's still growing. And having adamantium at that point would be just...
Yeah, that would be bad.
Imagine being stuck with a baby skeleton inside of, like, an adult. I don't know how that would work.
I am a 30-year-old woman in the body of a 6-year-old.
No, but, like, the body keeps growing, but the bones just are really far apart. And they're just tiny.
I don't even want to think about that.
Oh, that would be awful. It wouldn't work at all.
Anyways.
one thing I really like about... What did you say her name was? Daphne somebody?
Daphne Keene is the young lady who plays Laura.
Her performance as Laura is just spot on perfect. You see her as like this emotionally distant little child, but then also she can go into this little rage like berserker mode. That's not the right term for it, but you know what I mean?
Rage mode.
Rage mode activated.
She is a barbarian.
But then she basically, you know, she goes full Wolverine on people and she has the little like... young girl screams to go with it.
I know.
You know, and it's perfect.
It's terrifying, but it's also slightly adorable. I don't get it.
I mean, it works perfectly for
it
the character.
Does.
It's also, I mean, it's basically Wolverine's power set, and Wolverine is a powerful character. I mean,
yeah.
You know, to bring up Last Stand, he's the only one that can survive Jean Grey's destruction phoenix wave thing, whatever that is.
I'm not sure what it was.
I don't even know
exactly
what that power was. But speaking of Jean Grey, that's another character that you've got on your list, Seth.
Jean Grey is on my list, and that is the character that I mentioned who I favor her portrayal in X-Men Apocalypse, kind of over the ones from the earlier X-Men movies. Mostly.
Is it the same actress?
It's not the same actress. So Jean Grey was played by Famke Janssen in the original X-Men trilogy.
Okay.
I hope I'm pronouncing her name correctly.
Don't ask me. I have no idea.
In the newer X-Men movies, starting with Apocalypse, she's portrayed by Sophie Turner, who also plays Sansa Stark in Game of Thrones.
Well, that doesn't mean very much for me.
Oddly enough, it's just another strong female character in a younger form, basically. Sansa
so kind of like what they
did
with
research.
Jennifer Lawrence and Rebecca somebody in with Mystique.
Yes. So it's and actually, now that you pointed that out, I do have Mystique on here. Again, her younger portrayal that I picked kind of for the same reasons. Like, I like the characters as they are portrayed in the earlier movies when they're older and like have really come into their own. But it's really cool to see them kind of becoming who they're going to be, in a sense.
Okay.
Not to get too philosophical.
Do
but
you feel that same way with like Charles Xavier or Magneto as their younger selves in X-Men? I think it's Days of Future Past, as well as, is it First Class? No, that's not First Class.
It is First Class.
It is First Class, where they show the younger selves.
Oh, Magneto. It's so much easier to empathize with him when you understand where he's coming from, because I don't think they ever really explained that in the first X-Men trilogy. He just kind of shows up and is the bad guy and has a chip on his shoulder and a grudge against Professor X.
I mean, you can see his motivations, but you don't always know why they're
there.
Right,
because in First Class in particular, it's explained that he's a survivor of the Holocaust after watching both of his parents die in a concentration camp.
One of them being, I think, shot right in front of him.
Yes.
Which is just awful.
Yeah, especially as like a 10-year-old boy. But it's that being said, it's so much easier to understand him and his motivations and relate to him when you see where he's coming from like that.
Okay, which makes sense. But so you enjoy his performance better as like the younger?
I don't know the actor names. I mean, they're both the portrayal of Charles Xavier and Magneto both.
I mean, to be fair, their actors are very well known.
Their actors are incredibly talented.
As Sir Patrick Stewart and
Ian McKellen.
Ian McKellen,
who also
right.
played Gandalf, among others.
Gandalf and Magneto. And you've got, who's the guy
Michael
from Star
Fassbender
Trek?
Michael Fassbender and James McAvoy.
Oh, that's right. And James McAvoy is also a really good actor.
He's extremely versatile.
Like, I don't know if he, like, stood out as much in like First Class or Days of Future Past. Like he did very well, but it didn't feel to me like he stood out. Whereas if you get to what's that movie? It's the one where he played that character with like all the personalities.
Split.
Yeah. That's the one where his acting role, he just like well, to be fair, everyone else was just kind of standing around. They didn't do very much in comparison. Like, I'm sure they acted well, but his acting to play all those personalities and everything was just amazing.
Yes.
But we're getting off topic. I did actually like his portrayal as the younger character. Not saying I like it better than the older, because I'm split between the two. Bad jokes. Though I do disagree with you just a little bit on the Mystique portrayals. I actually like the older Mystique portrayal better. Partially because she doesn't pick the one girl form and stay with it. Like, I know Jennifer Lawrence being like a top billing actress or whatever she is, you'd want her to be on screen time more as herself than as Mystique. Plus, getting into the Mystique makeup takes 6 hours. There are whole behind the scenes things.
It's quite extensive.
It takes her 6 hours to get into it. But
yikes.
The older character, I mean, she was all action. She goes into a scene, does kung fu or something. No, it's not kung fu.
Just comes in, wrecks everything, walks away.
Mm-hmm. And can changes her appearance. So they usually utilize, you know, Rebecca, I don't know her last
name. Rebecca Romijn Stamos, I think.
I have
that
no
may have
idea.
Changed.
But they utilize Rebecca when she is actually Mystique. But then for other characters, they just bring in the character themselves to portray I mean, they do that in the new versions too, but she doesn't, like, speak very much as Mystique, and when she does, there's, like, a different quality to her voice. She speaks oftentimes as the character she's portraying, such that all you need is the other character.
True.
And I actually really like that.
I do, yeah, I can see that. It does make her a lot scarier if she says less as herself, because then you don't get that kind of attachment to her.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess in my mind, it makes her a better threatening villain because, I mean, at this point, she has clearly chosen the villainous side in, you know, I guess, the first three movies, where she's the villain. She doesn't speak much. She's intimidating. She could literally be anywhere. You have no idea, except for when her eyes flash yellow from time to time.
She's right behind you, but you have no idea.
I'm in a studio with a wall behind me. I hope she's not behind me. But like,
how do you know?
But in the other trilogy with Mystique, she's like a good character, but not a good character, but she is, but then she isn't. And
she's just very conflicted.
But at the same time, she often feels like a young, not really angsty, but still angsty teenager, if that makes sense.
To be fair, those are set when they're essentially teenagers.
Right, and I mean, that's the point, but I guess I just don't like that as much as the intimidating Mystique villain of the earlier movies.
That's
but
fair.
Again, that's just my opinion.
Well,
that's not...
that's true, I suppose, because Mystique often comes across in the earlier movies as Magneto's kind of lieutenant or second in command. So it's weird to not see her like that in the older movie or the newer movies.
That is true.
Speaking
of the newer movies, another character that I really enjoy the portrayal, it's Kevin Bacon. That's not true. That's the actor. but it's Sebastian Shaw, who is that.
Oh.
I forget what he does. He runs that one nuclear submarine in, it's not Days of Future Past.
It's
is it?
first class.
It is first class.
Yes.
I really like his power set specifically. That's what draws me to this character, is that he can absorb all these different forms of like energy of like from a bomb or a grenade or things like that, and then release it once he has it, which is actually just really cool as a power.
It is
in and
kind
of
an interesting power because it's similar to Rogue's,
but
yet
with
it's
energy.
It's different enough to be cool and interesting and unique.
But he also doesn't do it with like a person's power.
Yeah, that's true.
And Rogue doesn't ever do it with like an attack, if that makes sense. But it is a very similar power, now that you bring that up. Speaking of Rogue, do you have Rogue on your list as well?
Rogue is actually not on my list because if I had just let myself go, this list would have gone on for 3 or 4 pages. So
fair enough.
In order to keep things in an episode, I cut 7 or 8 characters off the list.
Okay, so we won't mention Rogue as much, though she is a pretty cool character. You did mention Iceman, though.
I did mention Iceman.
And I do like Iceman. His name is Bobby? Bobby Drake.
He doesn't get a lot of use in the movies, except when he's kind of being a dork. So he shows up a lot, especially in X2, I believe.
They always bring him up as a very good, I guess, counter to Pyro.
Or and that's, Cyclops.
Do they do a lot with Cyclops?
He's kind of the chill version of Cyclops. Like, he's a good guy. Ice puns.
You need to bring in Arnold Schwarzenegger.
They're not intentional, I swear.
Just don't ask me to do an Arnold Schwarzenegger impression. As we all know, I can't do that.
Oh, no. But he's like... he's the good guy who's just kind of laid back and doesn't have a stick up his butt like Cyclops does.
Yeah, Cyclops is not my favorite character for a lot of reasons.
We won't go into those here. Most of those come from the comics, unfortunately.
Oh, well, interesting. I did not know that.
So the reason I have Iceman on this list is actually because of a thought train that I got completely derailed by when I was writing this list. So
what's this thought train?
Iceman is played by an actor named... I think it's Sean Ashmore. I
don't ask me.
Yeah,
but sure,
forgive me.
I'll
if that's
agree with
not
you.
Quite right.
But, I'll smile and nod.
But in Days of Future Past, when he shows up again in like the Bad Future opening section, he has a beard.
Okay.
And when he has a beard, he reminded me of another actor, Dominic Monaghan, who plays one of the hobbits in Lord of the Rings. I think it's Merry. I get my hobbits mixed up a lot.
Not one of the main two. It's either Merry or Pippin, probably.
Correct. I think it's Merry.
Okay. I have no idea. I don't know names.
I could be completely wrong.
And that's the only reason you like him?
Well, no.
Oh, okay.
So I imagined, as I was thinking through this list and I realized that the actors look very similar, it got me thinking, you know, what would a hobbit with ice magic look like? Like, can you just imagine a tiny little person going around, like, riding an ice surfboard and, like, freezing people and doing all this other crazy stuff that Iceman does? And the thought itself was funny enough that I decided to put Iceman on the list.
You know what I really want to see now? You just made me think of this.
Uh-oh.
This is the randomest thought. I'm not sure how I want to describe this thought, so I have a couple different ways to put it out there. But first of all, the four hobbits as four different, like, benders from Avatar.
Oh, no.
So you've got, like, Pippin as, like, the ice guy. You've got Merry as the earth. And you're like, I think these four little guys that all go around. Or also having, like, Peter Dinklage come across as, like, the evil. Or, like, you know what I mean, though? Like, as an evil bender himself. And he comes out there and he's like, blowing things up, or he's got all these powerful stones he's throwing, or maybe he's even the Avatar character.
But
I don't know.
Peter Dinklage doesn't like mutants, or at least his character in future
That's
past
true.
Doesn't.
Yeah, what was his name?
Bolivar Trask. He
Trask,
has a killer mustache.
And it's also a killer performance. I do enjoy Peter Dinklage's
he's
work.
He's so good.
But wouldn't it be funny, though, to have, like, the four hobbits going up against Peter Dinklage with, like, Avatar powers? I don't know why that occurred to me, but when you
image is there now and it's really bad.
And then Katara has to come along. She's like, "Guys, will you cut that out?" Now that we've gotten completely sidetracked,
no.
You have more characters on your list. I
do. There are a couple more characters left on my list.
All right.
So the next one is Beast.
Beast.
Yes. So he's the blue kind of furry X-Men. He shows up as, like, the mentor and the other stable figure in the older X-Men movies, portrayed by Kelsey Grammer, who does a fantastic job.
Oh, that's right. Was he actually a Beast in that one, or was he still a guy?
No. He was very, very Beast. He doesn't. It's actually the.
I'm thinking the
yeah,
later movies.
First
that's
Class
my problem.
Was the first time we ever see Beast. I think it's First Class.
Yeah,
it might
as a guy.
Yeah, Days of Future Past. Hank McCoy, Beast's alter ego, shows up, and he's, like, kind of fighting with his transformation.
And then he comes. Is this the one where he comes up with the potion to,
yes,
like, stop it? Except that it actually
that
reverses
movie.
It because he's a terrible scientist and he did the exact opposite.
Yay!
Plot hole!
The reason I have Hank McCoy on here is because I love how awkward he is in those first two films.
That is true.
Like, he comes across the same way, like, his actor does a great job of matching his performance to Kelsey Grammer from the earlier movie. But he's so awkward at the same time as being this, like, nice, sweet, stable guy. And the way he and Raven, like, have crushes on each other
That's
in First
slave
Class
name.
Is adorable.
Oh.
What?
That's her slave name.
No, it's not.
Raven? Well, okay, the earlier Rebecca's Mystique is like, I don't answer to my slave name.
Fine. Semantics.
Something like that.
But to watch them together in First Class was adorable.
No, I always found those scenes kind of awkward, but that's
they're
just me.
They're supposed to be.
I'm just always
a little bit.
Well, yeah, they are very awkward, but I never find those as endearing as people do, I guess. Like the awkward couple comedy.
What
never.
What kind of sociopath are you?
You're not supposed to ask that question.
I mean, what kind of a terrible person are you? Wait, that didn't sound
that's not
any
better.
Better.
What kind of a Hogwarts house are you? Slytherin.
That makes perfect sense now.
Oh, that really does.
Didn't come out any better at all.
But Slytherins have a better. No, this is off topic, actually. But okay, so this is a Tumblr post I came across recently, and I really like it. I can't remember all the names. So you're going to have to help me out if you can think of the characters. But
okay.
So fourth movie, you know how it's Cedric Diggory, who is also a Gryffindor, isn't he? Or is he a Hufflepuff? I don't remember.
Cedric Diggory's a Hufflepuff.
He's a Hufflepuff. Cedric Diggory is the other Hogwarts nominee, along with Harry, who Harry's actually the other one.
What?
But it's Cedric Diggory, who's a Hufflepuff. And someone,
I hear they're great at finding things.
There's more to it than that. But someone had this idea of, what if instead of it being Cedric Diggory, it was, is it Cornelius Waterman? That's not the right name.
Cormac McLaggen?
No, it's
no,
a Slytherin.
A Gryffindor.
Who's the Slytherin? What's the guy's name? It starts with a C, and it's...
I'm not sure I know which Slytherin you're talking about, unfortunately. I have no idea.
Okay, I can't think of the name, unfortunately, but it's this minor character who's a Slytherin that we don't know much about, but he shows up, like, once or twice. He might even be in that potions class,
hey.
In book 6 or something like that. But the whole idea was, what if instead of having a Hufflepuff like Cedric Diggory, who's like a really hot guy, who's like kind of, he's there, you know what I mean? What if instead of having him being the Triwizarding Cup, you have this lesser known Slytherin character? And then the whole idea was, well, what would happen if that were the case? Then what you could do is if you have Harry and this Slytherin, I think his name starts with a C, I can't think of it, you have them grudgingly helping each other, but then a Slytherin never forgets whoever helps him, and so he goes back and helps Harry after Harry helps him, and they have this like mutual respect for each other, but they don't really, like, you know, they don't get along because they're, you know, Gryffindor and Slytherin, but they still have a respect for
competing
each other.
Competing houses.
But they still help each other, and so they've got this kind of respect, and then at the end, instead of Cedric being killed, it's this other character who is killed,
oh, no.
And then the Slytherins start to realize, you know what? We don't actually know what Voldemort is like because we've only heard the good propaganda about him, and he just killed a fellow Slytherin. What's going on here? And so then they start to question the facts. You get some Slytherins that start to join, like Dumbledore's army, instead of more Hufflepuffs because of Cedric.
That's interesting.
You know what I mean? And so you get more Slytherins that are good, and then you got Slytherin like kids going up against their parents that are Death Eaters.
Wow, that would have made it really interesting.
It makes for a very interesting dynamic that I now really want to see. But
yeah, that'd be really cool. Also,
but it didn't happen. But we got off topic.
It's also completely unrelated to the X-Men.
That was just something I came across recently. So sorry. But getting back on topic.
Well, there's only one more character on my list.
Is it Charles Xavier?
It is not Charles Xavier because we already talked about him.
Did we really? Oh yeah, we did bring him up briefly. Shoot.
This character has the best name I have ever seen attached to a character.
Deadpool. Oh no!
It is from Deadpool though.
Oh, it's from the Deadpool.
Her name is Negasonic Teenage Warhead. Tell me that name isn't
that is
awesome.
An awesome name. Oh, I'm sorry. That name is not. I can't do it.
Oh, it is an awesome name, and I defy you to tell me otherwise.
I can't.
You
do
can't
it.
Do I'm it, sorry. Can you? Because it's so awesome.
What does she do, though? I don't know what she does in the movie.
They changed her powers a little bit
film
because apparently her powers weren't flashy enough. But she has the powers of another X-Men, kind of a lesser-known X-Men from the comics named Cannonball.
Okay.
So
she can jump inside it. Wait, no. She gets fired every day at work. No.
He basically has the power to fly and also create, like, shield bubbles.
Like little force fields?
Essentially little force fields. It's hard to explain, and it's been a while since I've actually seen it. But it's basically, they gave this goth girl, like, explosive powers and like force fields and all this stuff, but it's such a cool adaptation of the character, and
the name Deadpool itself
sells it for me.
Knowing Deadpool, he has to have made a comic in there or comment in there somewhere about her name. I was like, that just sounds like something he would do.
I mean, it's Deadpool. There aren't a lot of things he wouldn't do.
That's true. I kind of want to go see the movie just because of all like the fourth wall breaks and how clever everything is.
Ryan Reynolds is the perfect person to play
he
Deadpool.
He really is. It's definitely better than Green Lantern, which we're not supposed to.
Wait, what are we talking about?
I don't know.
I didn't hear anything.
It's about time to wrap
up
this episode.
Ironically enough, before we end off, he did actually already play Deadpool before the movie came out.
Oh, that's right.
He was the super awkward Deadpool in X-Men Origins.
He was the guy that wasn't allowed to talk.
Because his mouth was stitched shut.
Which was really dumb.
Yeah.
But actually, there's a lot of cool mutants that have interesting powers in there. Like, we didn't even mention Sabretooth, which was Victor. Is that the right character?
Victor Creed, I believe.
But Wolverine's brother.
Yeah.
Isn't that Sabretooth?
Yes.
Yes. He's a really well-done character. I liked that portrayal in that movie, actually.
It was well done, despite all the other problems with that
movie.
Who's
the gambler guy with the cards?
Gambit?
Or was it just Gambit?
Oh, Gambit is a fantastic character that we don't have time to talk about, but he's cool.
There's a lot of good characters in what was ultimately a very poor movie.
Unfortunately.
Couple plot holes. Now, I will admit, the adamantium bullet to the head is not really a plot hole because that could erase his memories. Like, I can buy that.
How much are you selling it for? I mean, buying it for?
Free. But
for free!
I will gladly buy it for free.
I'll buy that for a dollar.
I'll buy it for a nickel and sell it for 50 cent. Wait, that's not right. No, I'll buy it for 45 cents. And then you give me 50 cents, so I'll give you nickel back. Okay.
Boo.
All right, now it's actually time to wrap up this episode.
Oh,
so how are we going to wrap up this episode? Should we pick a random note? Well, we've been talking a lot about X-Men, there's no X
isn't
note.
X isn't key, though.
Which is a double sharp, though, isn't it?
So what's... Okay, well, technically it is. So what's the 10th note in the list?
would be an F.
It depends on where you start.
If you started if you started on the traditional C, like people usually do,
let's start on middle C. What's the 10th
And you went just on a
note?
C scale, then it would be the F above middle C, or the F above middle C.
Oh, that's a high note.
But we don't have to hit that note. But that's what the 10th note would be, wouldn't it?
Okay, like yeah, let's just call it an F because that's technically
the 10th
note. No,
that's not right.
No, it's not.
That's not at all.
Oh,
what am I doing?
I don't know. What are you doing?
Because the 8th note the octave, isn't it?
Yeah.
Why was I thinking the 7th
note
was the octave?
Wow, we're smart and know musical things, guys.
So, jumping back. the 10th note would be the E above middle C because the 8th note is the octave.
Yeah.
And if you had the 9th, that would be the D. So the 10th note is the E.
Yeah.
Which is just basically a major third.
And as we all know, X is 10 in Roman numerals. So let's go with
the
E.
Oh, there you go. But what we have to do is because X is also a double sharp, we have to do a double sharp on our C and our E.
Oh, gosh.
So let's sing a D and an F sharp. Ready?
Goodbye.